love that thought. Boy, he makes impossible things possible. But he makes possible things impossible. You know, we was reading through Joshua. If y'all remember how all those kings got together and says, look, Joshua's done conquered. They overthrew Ai. And the Gibeonites have joined in with them. If we don't unite right now, all of us, and come together, we won't be able to defeat them. And the scripture says God put it in their heart to do that, so that they would all come together, made them courageous to fight against him, even though they was afraid of him, because God said he put fear in them over. But they couldn't help themselves. They had to come. And the odds were stacked against God's people. There's no way physically possible that they were able to defeat those five nations, those five kings of the Amorites, and overthrow them with what they had. But what he made the impossible for Israel possible, what was very possible for those five kings became impossible.
Amen.
Couldn't happen. Wasn't going to happen. And that's the neat thing that he does. Amen.
Amen.
To him be the glory. And we see that even in our reading in Revelation chapter number 19. When God gathers all these kingdoms together of the nations, these kings, he gathers them together for the slaughter there at Megiddo, at Armageddon. And with the sword of his mouth, he will overthrow them. We was just singing that song about him being King of Kings and our King and Lord. Well, see, he's our King and Lord right now. He's King and Lord. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't he?
Amen.
But he's not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for everybody. But there's coming a day that the scripture says every knee is going to bow.
Amen.
And every tongue is going to confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How many of y'all got out and took pictures or watched the eclipse? Anybody? Brother Shannon brought a picture in to me. This is a picture he took of it that day. It's pretty neat. You can see it obvious, the sun and it covering and it the light rays coming out beside it. And then down the camera has a, mine did it even on my phone, a lens. You could actually see the eclipse down here on the bottom in a reflection within the lens. It's pretty neat how it couldn't capture, like my phone couldn't capture this like this, but it caught a little upside down in the lens of the eclipse, and you could see it on there. And so it's pretty neat. I thought that was neat. Thank you, Brother Shannon. And how God does all those unique and rare things, like that eclipse being rare. And rare events get attention. And the most rare and precious moment in message in time is the unique message of the cross.
Amen.
That's why we want to give so much attention to it and go proclaim it. So y'all tell me, what have y'all been gleaning as you've been going through the book of Revelation? Is there anything you want to share with us that just stuck out to you, that helped you, encouraged you, spoke to you? Is there anything that you want to ask? There's not any guarantee that we can get it all figured out, but I've got some tools we can go look up. There's so much written about this book. There's so many different dynamics of it, and there's so many different messages around it that how it's interpreted, and I've got a lot of tools of those, and I look at them from time to time. This is not a, I wouldn't call myself a, I like the spirit of prophecy, Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, but I'm not a student of prophecy. From that perspective, where that's all I do is study. It's neat how there are men out there and writers out there and women out there that devote themselves to biblical history. There are people out there that devote themselves to biblical prophecy. And they spend the bulk of the majority of their time studying events and times and seasons and things that are coming. And that's, they do that consistently. When I say biblical history, there's some could tell us by name when a king reigned and the years that he reigned and what king over a nation reigned and who was reigning in Judah and who was reigning in Israel and who was reigning in Egypt at the time and what was happening, what prophet was prophesying at that particular time. And and all these events because they're students of biblical history. They devote their lives to study it, to know it, and then share it and teach it. And that's good. But most of us are not students of biblical history. Most of us are not students of biblical prophecy. So we, when we're in them, study them. But then we move into something else, and some of those things, we forget the details of all. In the same way with some of these events that's unveiled to us in Revelation. But we want to keep in mind, what is the book about? It's about Jesus, right? God gave it to him to give to his angel, and the angel brought it to John, and then it was sent to the seven churches, and it was to be read abroad of things that he saw, things that are, and things that are come to pass, that will come. And that's what we're reading about right now. So anybody, anything you want to ask?
There were two set of books. What was the first book?
Were you referring to?
It was in chapter 20.
Chapter 20.
Over 12.
Chapter 20. That's tomorrow's reading, verse number 12.
Right.
When I'm going to just read, this is at the great white throne of judgment. Now, there's a difference between what we know of. It's been described as, number one, we see here, the great white throne of judgment. The only ones that will present themselves that we are aware of at the great white throne of judgment is all peoples in history who did not ever trust God with their life. They didn't trust Him. They didn't belong to Him. It wasn't theirs. And at that great white throne, they will be judged based on their works and what they did and the degree. People will tell you that sin is sin, and sin is sin. Sin is just simply you missed the mark with God. But sin has degrees. Sin has levels. And there are degrees of sin, the depths of them, and that will be rewarded, or when I say rewarded, the sentence to those degrees will be given to men when they die. Also to Satan, also to death, and Hades will be cast in the lake of fire. So will everyone else. And this great white throne is very similar to in our system of justice. We have people that go before, when they commit a crime, let's say somebody commits a crime, they get caught by the police, and they put them, let's say, in Kemper County Jail or Lauderdale County Jail. Let's use that. They are held under restraint up until the time before they go see a judge. And then when they see the judge, based on the degree of their crime, based on what they've done, based on their defense, once either a jury or the judge themselves hear what they have to say, then they sentence them. And depending on the degree of it, depends on where they sentence them to. Let's say they send them to Parchment State Penitentiary. Well, when they were held in Kemper County, when they were held in Lauderdale County, that is a picture of where lost men that die are right now. It's a temporary place in hell. It's just waiting for them to go before the judge. And they can plead their cause, but they don't have a leg to stand on when they go before Him, because everything God's done always leaves Himself a witness. That's why the scripture says a conscience can't save a man. The creation can't save a man. But our conscience and creation and the law are all witnesses that stand against us. The only thing that can save a man is the grace of the Lord Jesus. So all those things that they encountered in life that they chose to neglect will stand one day as a witness. Very similar how Joshua closed out the book of Joshua in chapter 24. When he said, for me and my house, we will what?
Serve the Lord.
Now what did he say? These rocks, these stones, have heard what I declared today. And these rocks will stand as a witness one day against you, whether you heeded what was given or you neglected what was given. These rocks heard what I said, and they will be a witness against you one day.
Amen.
Everywhere we go through time, there's been markers that have been witnesses of an encounter or a message from God that we either accepted or we rejected. And a lost world rejects Him throughout time. And as a result, when they die, they go to hell. they still haven't faced the judge yet. The great white throne of judgment is when they face God and all their sins are exposed to them. All the witnesses that they had to point them to him were exposed to him. And then he declares their sentence and he casts them into the lake of fire for all eternity. It's parchment for the sinner. Lauderdale County Jail is hell for the sinner just waiting to meet the judge. Hades, that, yes. Hades lays claim on the soul. Death lays claim on the body. The grave, death. And both of those are going to have to give up the dead and the souls for them to rise. Because there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection of the living to everlasting life. We'll receive a new body one day. And then there'll be a resurrection to condemnation, to everlasting torment. When men receive their bodies and stand before God in their physical bodies. That's why he says the worm will never die. Why he says there's a fire in hell that can't be quenched, but it doesn't consume, but it just torments the soul, all those things. Why? Because men are going to have senses. They're going to be able to feel and think as they did in their natural bodies, but never be able to satisfy what they long for in the flesh. So if a man craves alcohol, he's going to live for an eternity with those cravings, but never be able to have them fulfilled. A man that longs, whatever it is, you name it, whatever he pursued in his life with all that he had in disregard, it just eats at him and will eat at him for an eternity. I mean, that doesn't sound pleasant at all, does it? To have these cravings that can't never be, because they're not going to be redeemed. They can't be redeemed, but they'll have a body. That's that great white throne. Who are the ones? As he mentioned these books, he says in verse number 11, then I saw a great white throne of him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. That's one book that you talk about, these two books, or many books. One book is a chronicled witness of what people did in life that won't be forgiven. Praise God that our sins are washed in the blood. Amen. You won't be judged on sin when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat is different than the great white throne. The judgment seat is the place where God's people will be rewarded for what they've done in Jesus' name, by Jesus' strength, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. Anything that we've ever done that wasn't done through the Lord will burn up. It won't endure. It won't be rewarded. There won't be any gifts for that. There won't be nothing given to us for that. Scripture talks about wood, hay, and stubble. That which is done in the flesh naturally by us has no value to it eternally. But that which is done by the Spirit through the Word for the glory of God by faith will be rewarded at the judgment seat. Sins won't be dealt with because they were already judged and dealt with where? At the cross. He's already dealt with them. Yet there'll be many that have very little to give back in reward to the Lord because they didn't use what he gave them to bring honor and glory to him. Those crowns that he talks about winning, those diadems that we talk about being able to have, all those are given to the believer to put at the feet of Jesus as a tribute of his worthiness. Because we couldn't have had them without him. Come on. And that's what we see in heaven. They all bow and they all worship and giving glory to him. And we want to be able to return what he gave to us in glory and tribute to him. Amen. And that's why we want to do things that have eternal significance to them. And that which is not done in faith doesn't endure. Whatever's done in faith, which comes from the Lord, will last forever. We see that's what Hebrews 11 teaches us. Hebrews 11 teaches us that everything that was done in faith, every act of faith was recorded.
Yeah.
And it was left as a marker for us. What Abraham did, what Moses did, what Noah did, what great women and men and martyrs throughout time did was all chronicled, and it was tributes. It was tributes. Hey, girl. It was all tributes written down, because what is done in faith always endures. But what is done in the flesh for the believer gets consumed, gets burned up. So the books were the record of what was done. Those witnesses that I talked about, the evidence of what was done against a man. Like, for an example, when a man goes to court and he stands before the judge, his crimes, what he committed, are read out before the people. Now, they're read to the judge. They're read out what he's brought there for. Well, that's going to be the books that will be open. But there's another book. The other book is the book of life.
Amen.
And their names won't be found in it, because they never put faith in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's also referred to in other places. Moses talked about, God says he has a book of life, and then there is the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life is that recorded, every name that will ever be saved recorded in that book. It's a record of his people that are called, chosen, and faithful, as Revelation's already pointed out and spoke to us about. The book of life would be very similar to a census, per se. That, for an example, when a child is born in Kemper County or Lauderdale County, that child's name and social security number is recorded in a register. How do you keep up with all that? It's registered. Well, at the end of time, when there is no life, because these people didn't have life, the name's not going to be found. They are discarded and sent in judgment to the lake of fire. Remember, Moses said, blot my name out of the book of life. Moses said, take my life instead of the life of the people. That's what he's saying. Just erase me from the living. Because if you don't do it, if you kill them, the enemy's going to take advantage of that and say you didn't have the power to deliver them. So if somebody's got to die, just take my name out of the book. Raise my name from it. He's not talking about the book of the Lamb's Book of Life, eternally belonging to him. He was just referring to, Lord, if somebody's got to get dying this, let me be the one. Take me out the register of the living. But it's impossible to be raised from the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because that is an eternal salvation that was written down before time began, before the foundation of the world. How do I know? Well, the scriptures tell it. Let's just read a little bit further. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works. This is verse 12. By the things which were written, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. They don't exist anymore. They've been erased. They're dead. And they're dead without Jesus. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. If Jesus is not your answer in this life, he can't be your answer in the next.
Amen.
And that's simply saying that there's no more life in them. There's none. And Jesus wasn't their answer. Look back, if you would, in chapter number 17. In verse number 8. He says, the beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not at this time and yet is. There's another place. Where is it at? Is it chapter 13? Look in verse number 8 of chapter 13. Verse 8 says, "And all who dwell on the earth will worship him," that is this beast, "whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So you see, he refers to the book of life and then the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. When was Jesus slain? He was slain in when the fullness of time came. But in God's plan and counsel, men would be saved by Jesus, and Jesus was purposed by God to be slain before the foundation of the world, to be a redeemer for mankind. So what happens when a man dies, his name's blotted out, the book of life. But a man cannot be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life, who was slain from the foundation of the world. You have a book of living, and you have a book of those that belong to Jesus. There's two different books. You follow with me. Two different books. Your name cannot be erased from the Lamb's book of life, because that was written in blood. That was written because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did. Not because that you're living. Because whether you're living or whether you die, when you're in the Lamb's book of life, the scripture says you shall never die. You have life eternal. Are you with me? That's important for us. So we see here that these books are books of the living, books of the saved, and books of what people have done. Older Testament says that there's a book written for those who sit around and talk about the Lord. Amen. Those that fear God and sit around and talk about Him, God writes it down. It's in Malachi 3:16, I believe it is. 3:16, 3:17, a book was written for those who sat around and talked about Jesus. Like tonight, for an example, we sitting around talking about the Lord. The scripture says God writes that down.
Amen.
He makes note of it. Yeah. He keeps up with it. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
That just simply tells us that God pays attention to what we do. We just don't do things and He's not paying attention to what we do. He knows exactly what we do. Matter of fact, look at Malachi real quick. Look at it. These are things that just bless you when you see them.
Amen.
Last book in the Old Testament. Verse 16. "Then those who feared," this is Malachi 3:16. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and He heard them." Not only does He know that we're meeting, but He listens and He hears. So, because God never does anything accidental, a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. So tonight, heaven is chronicling that we gather together to talk about Him.
Amen.
I pray there's a bunch of books written over that with my name in it. Amen?
Amen.
Sad thing is, I know a lot of folks that won't be written about. I want to fill up some things that everywhere I go, the Lord takes notice. He hears what I say. He sees it. And He says, write that down. What Nick was talking about right there with Brandon. Write that down, what he was talking about when he was talking with Dad. Write it down, what Brother Samuel and Nick was talking about. Amen?
Come on.
Put it down. Write it down. Man, that'll bless you, won't it?
Amen.
That'll bless you. A journal. God keeps a journal of what we do. Talked about Jesus. Remember how it said if everything was written down of what he did, there wouldn't be enough books and libraries to contain all that he did. But he gave us what we needed. And some people have taken some of these messages, what we're talking about here, about these books, Keith. I think the one book about what people did in this world, it's pretty clear. But when you get into the idea of the book of life and then the Lamb's book of life, people get confused on those two. And they get confused to the point where saying, well, can my name be in the Lamb's book of life and get erased from it? Can it get blotted out? Or can my name get blotted out the book of life? And people have taken that and run with the fact that people losing their eternal salvation based on their own actions, based on some of these things. Because they say, look, they were written in it, but then they're not written in it now. But I think it's a misunderstanding about the difference between the Lamb's book of life and then the book of life. A living register of the living and then a register of everybody that belongs to Jesus. I think they're two different things. Two different things. Two different books. And you can be in one, the book of life, but not be in the Lamb's book of life. Not have your name written there. There's a lot of people living today that their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Because they don't belong to him. But they're living. But they're going to die. And when they die, without Jesus being their answer, Jesus won't be the answer up there either. When they stand before God. And their names won't be found in either the book of life nor the Lamb's book of life. And when it's not found in either one, the only place they have assigned to them is the lake of fire. That makes sense to you? It's the only way I know how to explain it. And being two totally different books. But I'm just thankful that there's more books written of what we're even doing here tonight. Notice a couple things. Anybody else? Does that help, Keith?
Yes.
Anybody have any questions about that? That want to go a little bit further with it, or look at it a little closer, or what?
You preached many times, brother, about how watching TV can be so smooth but yet deceiving.
Right, right. You have to be careful.
And right here in 16, he's talking about the angels. You know, the TV show that, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I haven't watched it that many times. Touched by an angel.
Uh-huh.
There's not any.
Biblical.
No.
Yeah, nothing biblical in that.
And there's no women angels.
Yeah, the scripture doesn't tell us. Yes. Right.
But I've had
some subtle
argue me down.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no, I touched them more.
And have you ever heard people say that when somebody dies, they become an angel?
Yeah.
You know, that's unscriptural. Yeah. People don't become angels. Now, the word angel means messenger. Messengers. That's what an angel is a messenger. Those seven angels in the front part of Revelation are seven messengers, pastors to the churches in Turkey area, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, and Laodicea, and Sardis, in Philadelphia. Those are all messengers. They are angels. Messengers is what they are. But these other angels that the scripture talks about, we see the good angels. We also see fallen angels, right, that he refers to. But nobody turns into an angel in heaven when they die. Angels were created. The host of angels were created in the very beginning. And he's not creating anymore. He never created anymore. Same way, if I don't know if y'all noticed as well, we'll find in here, have you ever heard people say that certain people are apostles? Well, why in Revelation they say that the walls had the stones for 12 apostles? The apostles. Because the apostles were 12, and the 12th one was the apostle Paul. And he said he was born out of time, and he was the last of the apostles. So people who lay claim to being an apostle with the same apostolic authority that Peter and Paul had are only telling you a lie. Because that is what the foundation of the church was built upon, but he's built up from there. And even in heaven, he refers to it. Matter of fact, look, let's find it. And speaking on that, let's look in chapter number 21. 21:11 says, having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. These three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Verse 14 says, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. If there are more apostles, why did he just stop at 12? Because there are no more apostles. They are the apostles of the Lamb. Are you with me? Now, we are apostles, all of us, in the sense that every one of us have been sent with a message. That's what an apostle is, one sent. But we're not part of the apostles, who are only 12 in number. And he's not talking about Judas in one of those numbers. He was the son of perdition, right? He was numbered among them, but the 12th number come in with Paul, who says that he was born out of time, the last of the apostles. Even Revelation talking about the foundation. And they were named at the apostles of the Lamb. 12. Are you with me? 12. So that's just another thing that we can look at when somebody says, well, that's Apostle Joe Schmuckatelli over there. He might be Joe Schmuckatelli, but he ain't an apostle of the Lamb. Amen. He might be an apostle like me because I've been sent with a message, but he's not one of the. He's not a called apostle as the apostles were, because if I read correctly, there was only 12 of them, and God even sealed it with what's going to be in glory with just 12. Are you with me? That's why, going back to dealing like with angels or whatever it may be, yeah, TV is subtle. When God created angels, he created them all at one time. When the angels fell with Satan, who was an angel himself, only a certain number fell with him, and no other angel since then has fallen. No other angel will fall. When they left, they left. And that was it. But he ain't creating no more angels, and we don't become angels when we die. Now, you don't have to beat people up when they talk, when they say that, you know. You don't have to say, hey, knucklehead, that ain't true. You don't have to do that. You just understand, well, that's another lie. That don't happen that way.
As long as you're not worshiping these little, you know, images and things.
Right.
I'm cool with it. But they get down to where they're worshiping them things.
They will. Some people, they do. And even the scriptures never tell us to pray to a person other than pray in Jesus' name to our Father. Amen. Yeah. You don't have to pray to Mary. You don't have to pray to a saint. You don't have to pray to an angel. Are you with me? That's important for us. And that's why you see in a lot of these shows, they bring in their understanding of things. And that's why we want to build everything we do based on the Word of God. Just based on the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches, hey, God's writing a book tonight. There are going to be several books open. It's going to be a book of life. And those that are dead, remember, they are what? That's why he says this is the second death. The first death, their names was blotted out the book because they didn't. They're dead. In the second death, in their judgment, they cast into the lake of fire for an eternity. Now, we don't want people to go there, amen? That's why we go preach Jesus. And we don't want their blood on our backs. We want to make sure we warn them of this coming storm that is coming. So those things make sense? Anything else? Let's look at a couple passages real quick. Talking about not being caught off guard and what the scriptures teach us about the believer. Look in 12:11. You know, Stephanie sang this song last week based on this passage right here. They overcome the dragon. We overcome the dragon currently. We overcome him, as 11 says, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, the integrity of our testimony, which is Christ Himself. He is our testimony.
Amen.
And they do not love their life unto the death. Revelation 12:11. They overcome and they don't bow the knee. Look at chapter 13. We just looked at it. Look at verse 8 again. Those that overcome the beast are those that don't bow the knee to the beast, who are not caught up in the agenda of the beast. He says in verse number 8, and all who dwell on the earth, who worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb, book of life of the Lamb. Notice, those that dwell on the earth, they're living. They're alive. But they're not written in what? The book of life of the Lamb. They're alive. If anyone, verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills by the sword must be, he who kills with the sword must be killed by the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What is the patience and the faith of the saints? What is their perseverance? Their perseverance is found in the Lamb. That's how they overcome. That's how they endure. Through the blood. Through their testimony, which is Christ. And that His life is more important than their life. His agenda is more important than their own agenda. He says it again in chapter 17. Let's look at it again. 17 in verse number 8. We see this idea that this world is going to what? They're going to be amazed and bow to who? This beast. But the believer overcomes, doesn't he? Why? Something supernatural takes place in their life. Look in chapter 12 and verse 17. 12:17. says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Who are her offspring? Those who keep the commandments of God and take possession of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who are those on guard? Those who overcome by the blood, through Christ, for Christ. They are those who what? Lay guard on the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I mean, they live for the word of God and the witness of Jesus. And that's who the enemy is going to make war with. Believers who live on guard. Look at Revelation 13:10. We looked at that already. Look in chapter 14. Look at 14:12. You to notice those who are making a difference through these difficult days and this future events that are coming. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep what?
Commandments.
the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works will follow after them. Praise God. Amen. Amen. What you do in faith will what? Endure. It will last. But notice, we've seen twice already. Those that, what? They keep guard on the commandments of God. That is simply saying the word of God. And the witness or the testimony of Jesus. This cheerful endurance to remain under his promises. Go back to chapter 2. Look at verse 13. What does it say? Chapter 2 and verse number 13. Pergamus, he says in verse 13, I know your works and where you dwell, Satan's throne, and you hold fast to what? And did not deny my faith. Even in the days of Antipas was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So we see this clinging to the promise of God. Clinging to the power of God, the gospel, Jesus, and they kept Jesus' faith. That's simply saying they held on to what Jesus held on to. Jesus believed his Father was everything, didn't he?
Amen.
And he gave his life for him, and he said, that's what my people will do. That's the ones that's going to endure. They cling to me, and they cling to my testimony because I am their answer in this life. And they live as though I am their answer. Look in chapter 17 and verse number 14. Verse 14 says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him, what are they called? They are called, chosen, and faithful to what? To the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus. Look in chapter number 20. Look in verse number 4. Verse number 4 is, and it says, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for what? The commandments of God, the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and have not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for a what? Man, y'all see what he's saying. In the midst of the most terrible time in history, those who are marked as being different are those who overcome this sorcery and deception of the dragon, of Satan himself, because they were covered in the blood. Because they hung to their testimony of their transformed life that took place in the blood. And it was proven by the fact that they wasn't afraid to lay their life down for Jesus. Because they clung to the word of God and they clung to the message of the gospel that Jesus is God's answer and only answer. As a result, they lost their lives. But they were called, chosen, and faithful through it all. Folk, that's how he's calling us to live now. Amen. By the blood, through a testimony, and that we're willing to prove it by laying our life down for the cause of Christ. Because we trust the word of God, and we trust Jesus with our next breath in this life. Amen.
Amen.
What will be our names? Called, chosen, and faithful. Overcomers. Look, if you would, in chapter number 2 again. Look in verse 10. Before we close, we'll wrap it up. These things just bless me as I've been reading through. Because we've been reading about such terror that is coming and God being in charge of it all and destruction. But in the midst of it, God had always had a faithful remnant that trusted him.
Yes.
That leaned in on his word, that preached his gospel no matter what was going to come their way. Amen?
Amen.
2:10 says, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation in 10 days. What? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." 3:11 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take away your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Faithful witnesses.
Amen.
Who overcome. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. But it does mean that you're not going to let your mess you up. And you're going to keep looking to Jesus and keep walking with him. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid to go preach Jesus. Because Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen.
And it's in his name that kings are going to bow to. It's in his name that nations will bow before. It's in the name of Jesus where there is power and authority. Proclaim Jesus and watch him set men and women free. Somebody brought his name to you.
Yeah.
Somebody brought his name to me. And it's in the name of Jesus that's going to set men free today. Him be the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Cling to the word. Cling to his testimony. Live by his faith. And let him get all the glory for it. So we can cast those crowns back at his feet. Amen. Ain't nothing like knowing your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't know it had been written for a long time. But one day he came and interrupted my life and said that I belonged to him. And he died for me. He gave his life for me. And to him be the glory and the praise. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you and give you honor and dominion and authority. You are our King of kings and our Lord of lords. And we know that this world is coming to a close. The storm is on its way, and you have sent us forth to accomplish your mission, because there are others out there whose names are written in this book. They don't know it yet, but we've been commissioned to go tell them. So I pray that as we walk in your authority, you make the impossible possible for us and the possible things on the other end impossible for them as we accomplish your mission. We're not asking you to fix our situations, but we're asking you to fix us for them, that we can walk in your victory and overcome and receive the crown that we then can cast back at your feet. Thank you for being our judgment. Thank you for being our substitute. Thank you for being our sacrifice. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love y'all. Anybody have anything before we go?